Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I usually often preach on the gospel lesson. Today, we'll touch on the gospel lesson, but really I'd like to draw your attention to the epistle lesson on this LWML Sunday, as I think it sort of goes along with the theme for LWML this year, and I'll certainly speak more about that, but that is the text that we're looking at, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and following. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, did you think about what you put on today? It's one of those decisions that we have to make every day. Did you think much about it? Did you? Actually, it's the most important thing you do each day. What you put on has lasting significance. Maybe we'll put it this way: eternal consequences. I guess it strikes me that I might be kind of confusing here, so let me be clear. I'm not talking about the clothes you put on this morning. I'm talking about the new self. The new self that, by the way, God himself created to be like God himself in true righteousness and holiness. That's what I'm talking about. And today, in the epistle lesson, St. Paul says, put it on. Say that with me. Put it on. I'm not convinced. Say that with me. Put it on. That might actually be a good title for the sermon today. Let's go with that. Put it on. Paul sounds pretty insistent. He says, to be a Christian means this, that you learn, that you put off the old self that lives according to the flesh, and you put on the new self that lives according to faith. I'm glad that we're celebrating LWML this Sunday. I'm glad that the theme is kingdom people produce kingdom fruit. I don't know if you saw that on your insert. To be a Christian means there's a difference. You look at things differently. There's a product, so to speak. Today, you actually see some of this. You see the quilts that LWML has made, you see these kits that they have put together to help other children. You got markers and notebooks and glue sticks and things that people need. And it's a different way of looking. I'll give you an example. This is something that LWML has taught me. You know the change that you have in your car? Put it in your console. What's that for? So I used to think you just keep putting change in your console in your car, and then when you get enough, you go buy some hamburgers from McDonald's. LWML has taught me that I can see that change differently. You can take that same change, and everyone puts that change together, and then all of a sudden, you're able to fund projects to help people. And we're talking maybe 6-7-figure monetary projects that are done by just taking some change, by looking at that change differently. And that's the point. There's a different way of looking at life. We're not like the world. We don't value what the world values. We don't want what the world wants. We're different. So when someone sins against us, we see that as an opportunity now. We see that differently. We forgive them. When someone curses us, we see that as an opportunity to bless. When somebody slaps us, we see that as an opportunity to turn the other cheek. We look at our money differently. Rather than hoarding money to take care of ourselves and make sure we get ours, now we see that actually we can even give sacrificially. And by giving of our resources, we can actually make an impact for other people. We can bless other people. We're called to live differently. St. Paul says, put off the old self, put on the new. We sometimes call this the new obedience. Say that with me. New obedience. It's new. This obedience is something we didn't do before, couldn't do before. Now we can. It's a miracle. Being able to do things that God has called us to do, that's a miracle. You know, if you showed up in the hospital and found somebody who was paralyzed, and you said, get up. Do some work. You'd be a jerk. That would be mocking them. But Jesus says to a paralyzed man, get up and do some work. Pick up your cot and go home. And when Jesus says it, it's not mockery, it's a miracle. This man's life is changed, and he's able to do something. Because that's the way it works. If you're sick, but now all of a sudden you are healed and you're better, you want to do something. You want to use your body for what it's called to do. Well, that's the way it is for you. See, before Jesus entered your life, before Jesus saved you, it was impossible for you to do anything good. Couldn't do a good work. You could not obey. For somebody to say, do a good work, that would have been mockery. But now that Christ has come, now that you are forgiven, now that you've been baptized, you've been healed, you are a new creation, now suddenly, you're able to do what you could not do before. You can obey Jesus. Isn't that exciting? I kind of think this is, it gives you chills a little bit. That now it's actually possible to obey God. Let's just reflect on that for a minute. Don't hear me saying that I'm adding more of a burden to you, that this is simply about you got to do more work. This is about a miracle that God has worked in your life, that from now on, day to day, moment to moment, you can actually obey. In some sense, you can actually exercise your will for good. Now let's be clear here. We know that we cannot choose God. We can't come to faith, right? We learned this in catechism class. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the, help me out, but the Holy Spirit, thank you, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But now that we're a new creation, something's different. The Holy Spirit's the one leading us, guiding us into the ways we should go. And there is some sort of will involved there. In other words, and we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can say, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. Or we can cooperate. Which means we're actually able to do things that have value. We are now able to do things that have worth. God has given us the ability to do things that have an impact, maybe an eternal impact. That means the joy of being a Christian is not simply that we've been rescued from sin, death, and the devil. The joy of the Christian is now that we can put away falsehood and we can actually speak the truth. Couldn't do that before. Now we can actually work against our sin. We can not let our anger have control over us. We can labor and use the resources of our labor to help anyone in need. That's the way St. Paul puts it in our text. The fact that we can do good works is not simply more work. The fact that we can do good works is actually good news. We don't always do works that have worth, do we? Seems like often enough we're wasting time. We're still looking out for number one. We still sin. That's one of those puzzles. That's one of those mysteries. The persistence of sin in the life of the baptized is something we're still struggling with. I mean, I know that there's some times where you're not struggling. There's those times where you love everybody and you just forgive everyone. There's those times where you don't snap, you haven't said anything hurtful. But then sooner or later, you got to get out of bed in the morning. And it's not so easy. And you had good intentions. You were resolved to do better. Maybe you even had a plan. This is how I'm going to do it. And then you didn't. And it's all the more frustrating. How did Paul put it? Those things that I don't want to do, those are the things I keep doing, and the things that I should be doing, doesn't seem like I do those very much. It's a struggle. It hurts. It's frustrating. We want to obey. And yet sin is still right with us. And we still fall. That's why it's such good news that we're baptized. You ever notice that we don't say, I was baptized, like it was this thing that just happened in the past? What do we say? I am baptized. And that changes things today. So, in the early church, it's said that very often in baptisms that the person to be baptized would undress completely, and they had ways of protecting their modesty, but they would undress, they would take off their old clothes, they would get in the water, be baptized, and then when they came out, they were wrapped in new clothes, white, clean, warm. That's the picture of what baptism does, that the old self is gone, we're a new creation. And that's not just a reality in the past, every day. This is the way we live every day. I think Luther puts it this way. What does baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. You catch that? All sins daily drowned and die, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Every day, a new person, a new son, a new daughter. The past is gone. Your baptism washed it away. Your sins have been nailed to the cross. They can harm you no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Your sins are not holding you back. You get to start over. And not only that, you're a new creation, and also all of heaven's resources are now at your disposal to do it again, to try again, to continue to seek to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. All of heaven, his angels, resources, right there at your fingertips, the Lord provides for you again. You're not lacking anything. You're not missing out on anything. You start again. What a joy that we're baptized. We should remind ourselves that more often. Let's do that. Let's say that again. I am baptized. We're Trinitarian. Let's do it two more times. I am baptized. I am baptized. I don't know if we can appreciate enough. Well, I know we can't appreciate enough the miracle and the power that God has put into your baptism that changes life today. So, baptized child. Here's the way it works. Here's some advice that Paul gives you that really is a game changer. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. If you want to change how you act, the battle actually starts up here in your mind. Because it really is sort of a matter of how we think about things. I mean, think about a young man who's dating a young woman, and he's just smitten. Think about all the things he's willing to do. The money he's willing to give up, the places he'll go, the time. He willingly and regularly makes sacrifices. He's continually thinking, what can I do to please her, to bless her, to serve her? And it's not work. I mean, it's work, but that's not the way he sees it. And that's just it. See, it's about the mindset. And so Paul says, be renewed in your mind. The English teacher in me needs to point this out. I want you to notice when Paul says, be renewed in your mind, that's a passive voice. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, what I mean is this, that in a sentence, you've got the subject, and then you've got the object, and active voice, you know, if Paul said, renew your mind, that would be active voice. That would mean that I am going to renew my mind. I'm the one acting on my mind. But when he says, be renewed, what he's saying is that's passive. That means that you're being acted upon. You're the subject, but you are being acted upon. Somebody has to renew your mind. Guess who that is? The Holy Spirit. By the power of God's word. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Because this is so important. This putting off the old self, this putting on the new self by the renewal of our minds. This is vital. And so we pray every day the Lord's Prayer that this would happen. And you've experienced this. There's those times where you've focused on something maybe you shouldn't be focusing on. You're struggling with something. And then, I don't know, you come to church. And then all of a sudden things sort of just are in perspective. The things that you once held on to, you don't feel like you need to hold on to anymore. What the world wants, you don't want anymore. What the world values, you don't value anymore. What happened? Well, you were renewed. The Holy Spirit did something. Changed the way you thought. So take heart. The good news is, the life of a Christian is a process. We really are new creations by our baptism. And if you want to focus on something, focus on the Word of God by which the Holy Spirit renews your mind. Beloved, I just wonder what you're dealing with this last week. Maybe it's a lot. Maybe there's all kinds of things you're dealing with. So many things seem important. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's who's going to be elected. Maybe it's somebody you got to work with. Whatever the case might be, St. Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is inviting you to believe that what matters most, where your focus is that you put on the new self. Most important thing you do. Put on the new self, created by God in his likeness. It seems impossible. But St. Paul says to do it almost like he thinks you can. And you can. Because Christ has come and he's done a miracle in your life. And you are baptized. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.